this is actually the master's thesis work of Emily Smith, who fled to Texas, not to go to graduate school, just to flee to go to Texas. Swan Adams, who was her advisor, and Irene Prabhadas, who was in, she's one of our students, former students, she was in the Department of Health and Environmental Control in South Carolina, and now works at the NCI, and then myself. So I wanted to point out this journal, which I think is, unfortunately, Leslie Cooper isn't here, she's in the room earlier, but this is in the August 2006 issue of the Journal of the South Carolina Medical Association, and it's really the first attempt in any geopolitical unit in the United States to describe cancer and what we're doing about it. I can provide this to people directly. Just get in touch with me. It's a PDF file. And you can also get it, I believe, from the Center for Research in Cancer Health Disparities, also part of NCI. So this is the state of South Carolina. It's so much fun to talk to people that don't know much about South Carolina. So here we are. It's the eighth smallest state in the United States, has a population of around 4.2 million people, around a third of whom are African American, and unlike New Jersey and the Midwest and other parts in the Northeast and the Far West, a lot of African Americans live in rural areas in South Carolina, just like in the rest of the southeastern part of the United States. We also have an excellent cancer registry. We could have not done this without our gold-rated cancer registry. So the data that I'm going to be giving you provide a combination of the Best Chance Network, which is the CDC-funded cervical and breast cancer program, and the mortality data from Vital Records and the cancer registration from the cancer registry. So it's a really nice example of using a lot of different databases available to us. That's where Columbia is located. That's where USC is. That's where the medical university is. And the main part population centers in the state are along here. And like I said, most of the state is extremely rural. So you've heard this already. There's a mortality differential between blacks and whites. You can see that the incidence curves and the mortality curves don't look the same. They cross in a dramatic sort of way. And I'm going to show data now from South Carolina that shows basically the same pattern. I mean, we're only a population of a little over 4 million people as opposed to 300 million, so it's not as robust. But you can see not only is the same thing happening, but the relative difference is much larger. And that's true basically for all the cancers that we see in South Carolina. It's really very striking and a little bit embarrassing. Our specific aims really deal with this continuum. I'll give you a little bit more information on our screening. Blacks and whites in South Carolina, for virtually all cancers for which screening takes place, have almost identical cancer screening rates. Okay, that's very important to know. So we've done a great job of doing the screening. It's not always appropriate screening, but there's screening happening at very high rates. And I think the appropriateness of screening is not just a South Carolina issue, it's a national issue. So these are our aims, to describe the distribution of tumor characteristics by race, African American versus European American, patterns of diagnosis, delay by race, according to that continuum, treatment delay by race, again on that continuum, and also look at the relationship between mortality and diagnosis and treatment delay intervals by race after adjusting for traditional risk factors. So we had a lot of information, and virtually none of it was self-reported, which is kind of nice. Of course, I'm a nutritional epidemiologist, but I'd love to have some information on diet and physical activity and things like that. But what we did have was pretty solid. We've since 1993 screened about 110,000 women. Two-thirds of them live in rural areas, and two-thirds are African American. And that's the name of our program in South Carolina. 342 of these women during the interval in which we're looking, where we could make the relationship between the different databases, were diagnosed with breast cancer. 19 were excluded because of incomplete follow-up, and 6 were of other races, so it's predominantly European and African-American. And these are the covariates, age, income, from the registry, stage, grade, behavior in situ were invasive, and as you've heard, estrogen and progesterone receptor status, which are known to be important prognostic indicators. And we did two types of statistical analyses, simple univariate descriptives and Cox proportional hazards modeling for the mortality outcomes. I should say Emily did that. So these are the people. In order to be screened through this program, you need to be income eligible. So you can see people are relatively poor. We're a poor state, and these are the poorest of the poor. These are the ages at which the abnormality was detected. You can see there's a lot of variability, more so in the African Americans, so they're obviously younger women as well. Not too much of a difference in terms of whether or not the tumors were invasive. And also in terms of differentiation, it's known that African Americans have higher grade tumors given stage. This is very important because in South Carolina, we do a good job of screening. There's not a huge stage difference at diagnosis, which is very interesting. You know, and it's very unusual compared to other parts of the United States. There's certain things we do well. And you can see that, on the other hand, estrogen receptor and progesterone receptor status, positive-positive in this case, is much lower in African Americans than European Americans. So the European Americans are showing up with more aggressive disease, even for a given stage. And this is very important, because what we're detecting when we're screening is stage, not grade. So we found there was no significant difference in the method of detection by race. So these women could be detected by mammography, by self-exam, by clinical breast exam, and there was no difference. The total interval was slightly different between, and longer, in the African Americans versus the European Americans. And you should know that 39 European American women died, 34 of them died of breast cancer, and 34 African American women died, 25 of breast cancer. So those are the deaths in that group of 400 or so women. Breast cancer is not that deadly of a cancer, but it's much more deadly, as you know, in African Americans and whites. So these are the results of the Cox proportional hazards models, and you can see there's absolutely nothing going on in terms of diagnosis delay or treatment delay. It's not saying anything about the delays after people get their initial treatment. That's another important thing to keep in mind. And my guess is that's one of the places that this research should go. Race, however, and this is after controlling for all the other prognostic factors, conferred about 4 times higher risk of death in African Americans than European Americans. It's a huge difference. And this is after accounting for grade, stage, all this other stuff. You can see that obviously these prognostic factors are also important. We would expect that regional disease, distant disease, would do much worse than local. That's true. Receptor status, no surprise there. And what we found, which is very interesting, is this race by receptor status interaction. So these are white women with positive receptor, both estrogen and progesterone. They're obviously doing a hell of a lot better. And what we want to do now, we're in the process, before we publish the paper, of disentangling what's going on in those other groups. Because we have the combination of race by estrogen positive or negative, progesterone positive or negative. So we need to look at all those subgroups. And I did not want to show this today because I'm still not 100% sure that we've nailed this really well. But I can say that that main contrast there is what it is. And it's really very striking. So you can see there's a huge effect of both race and race by receptor status, and these delays seem not to matter at all. They weren't very different between the two groups, and they don't matter, which is very interesting. So we're doing a good job up front, but we're not doing a good job at the back end, because we're still seeing very much higher mortality in blacks than whites. And this is just depicting that survival curve. You can see there is a relatively, obvious difference there, let's put it that way. And now this is for just breast cancer specific survival. What I showed you before was overall survival. And this is where issues regarding what's happening after initial treatment may be operative, because you can see the effect actually, with, although driven by breast cancer, is actually more striking and statistically significant when you include these other causes of death, which constitute about a third or so of the total mortality in these women who've been diagnosed with breast cancer. And you can see it's the same general pattern as we saw before. However, this now is just marginally significant, and this, I guess you couldn't even officially call that marginally significant anymore. However, if you look at those hazards ratios, they're not much different. So a lot of this is just power-driven. But what's interesting is these non-breast cancer causes of mortality obviously are contributing in a positive way, and I mean that statistically now, in a positive way to this outcome. And just to sum up, what we found was there was no apparent effect of delay for either all-cause or breast cancer-specific mortality. That's good news for people who have pushed really hard over the years to increase breast cancer screening for poor and African-American women. So that's good news. There was no effect of tumor grade after accounting for stage. Okay, so that we included that in the model originally, but it dropped out, which is kind of interesting because African Americans, when they're showing up, they show up with, as I said, with a higher grade given stage, but it's accounted for by that receptor business, actually, because they're so highly correlated. Women who show up with high grade, poorly differentiated disease tend to have negative receptor. No racial difference in terms of method of detection. Again, that's good news. If you're doing population-based screening, you want there to be no major differences in subgroups of the population. And we found these were the significant factors affecting overall mortality. So race, stage, as you'd expect, estrogen and progesterone receptor status, as you'd expect, and that very interesting interaction right there. And as I mentioned, results were similar for breast cancer mortality, except that the race by estrogen progesterone interaction didn't achieve statistical significance. It was going in the same direction, and the beta looked to be about the same, but it just wasn't significant. And that may be due to numbers problem. That the more that I thought about this on the plane and other places, in the meantime, and I really think that some of the crux of what's going on here has to do with post-treatment issues regarding medical care that could be driving this. And we find this in prostate cancer patients as well, where they just, you know, will drop out of the system after getting the initial diagnosis and treatment. And that may be what's driving this. And if that's true, then it isn't just about breast cancer treatment and follow-up. It's a bigger public health issue.